Should we bring Kathleen in case she says anything?
I'm voting you the host.
I'm the host.
You're the host. You're leading the charge here.
Okay. All right. I don't know how to host. Welcome. What's the name of this? What's the name of this podcast? Yak Babies. Yeah. Welcome to Yak Babies.
The Yak Babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
This is a special coronavirus quarantine episode, so we have a limited crew. It's me, Nico, your host. I'm going to be a bad host, but it's a pandemic, so what can you do? And then we've got
my best friend
across the waves back in the disaster area, Massachusetts.
That's me.
Oh, sorry, Brick. Maybe. Who knows? My wife, Kathleen, is here because she doesn't have anywhere else to go. Say hi.
Hi.
All right. So this one's going to be about Kentucky Route Zero, this weird kind of like wannabe literary game. Like I kind of think that this game wants to be a book, but since they're game developers, they tried to make a game and it's not a game though. It's like, it's a very weird kind of halfway point between a game and a book. It's like, so it's basically a walking simulator. You're going around, you're kind of, you do like small actions, like you walk from one side of a bar to the other or something. You talk to people, you have dialogue choices. The dialogue choices do not matter. And then like some weird shit happens. Like it's kind of magical realist, and there's kind of a lot of strange things. It's a lot about death. It seems to be kind of post-apocalyptic. And then there's like some kind of a strange cast of characters that you accrue on your way. There's a guy who's kind of slowly, who I think, what is he, like, lose his leg and then he goes to a doctor.
Yeah, he's slowly becoming one of those skeleton men.
Right. So there's like skeleton guys that work at a brewery that are made out of like kind of
glowing
static lightning bolts kind of. And it's that kind of thing. And it's kind of heavily experimental with its like style. Like it has a lot of little sequences that are like, so there's one sequence where you're in first person, but you can't move and you just kind of turn around and look at things. And there's a sequence where you're like in an art gallery and you're like, you go look around at the different exhibits and they're super weird. There's like some weird set pieces, you know, that kind of literary weirdness kind of set pieces, like the Museum of Dwellings, which is just kind of a bunch of different houses and like, you know, trailers and mansions and whatnot. One of the characters that you meet there says that they take all the houses outside to sleep because they can't sleep inside the museum. So it's kind of that kind of detail where it's like,
yeah,
a little too overworked. I thought,
yeah, I think
I hated this wanted, game. I hated it. So
yeah, it wanted to be surrealism, but wasn't quite tethered enough to the realism to be effective.
Right.
Be effective in that.
I think that's the problem with trying to be magical realist. Is like if you don't have like, and they do have, they do have points, you know, they do have like things that they want to talk about. Like they want to talk about like work, they want to talk about being in debt, they want to talk about that kind of stuff. But the surrealist part doesn't really serve that in a way that adds up to something more, you know. It's kind of like they're working at cross purposes a little bit.
Yep, I agree. I think I liked this more than you did.
Yeah. What did you like about it?
But it definitely had parts that annoyed me. I think you're a little off with calling it a half game and half book, because I think what it's failing kind of is it's half game and half movie. Mm. Even though there's lots and lots of text, and it definitely gets pretty writey, there's parts that reminded me of those. Remember those? You ever play that game, Lost Odyssey?
Is that kind of the Final Fantasy?
It's like the kind of Final Fantasy wannabe thing on Xbox, whatever the old one was.
I never managed to get very deep into it.
Oh, well, that game was pretty good. But then also it just had these novellas that were in there, and they sort of were like sort of related to the backstory of the character, but you in no way needed to read them to, they were separate from the game. They were just kind of like world building. They were pretty good. They hired some author to like some Japanese actual author to do them. And so it kind of had that vibe a little bit, but the problem was with the Kentucky, what's it called? Kentucky Route Zero.
Yeah.
It so badly wanted to be David Lynch that sometimes it was too, you can't make a copy of David Lynch and not just be a copy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because that misses the point of what it was. So I think there's points where this game pulls it off pretty well, and it's playing with form, right, and it's trying to be, it's definitely like the closest thing I've seen to like a successful postmodern video game.
Yeah.
But postmodernism is not an easy thing to do successfully in any form.
Yeah. Postmodernism is a tricky thing, especially long form. Like this is, it came out in 5 stages over the course of like 7 years.
Yep.
And the last stage was just released a couple months ago. So to me, I agree that some parts worked, but to me, it felt like each of those little parts were like a filler scene in a movie, you know, they were all digressions. And that was kind of the point, right? Because you're like, this group of people is going to a certain place, and it's like, why are they going there? Doesn't matter. Like there's no real reason.
You're right. Yeah. The parts I liked about this the most were the parts that were cut off, right?
Right.
The museum that you mentioned, that weird,
right.
Like, so there's 5 chapters and then there's 5 interludes.
Right.
I thought the interludes were way better than the main parts. There's one where it's pretty long. It's like at least 30, 45 minutes where you're watching a play and you just have control of the camera and you look around. And then as you look to different parts, that's how the different scenes kind of trip. And so you're kind of, one of the things this does well with the kind of, when I say it's sort of a postmodern adventure game really, is it's constantly changing like how you interact with it.
Right.
You know, like the characters change around, but then it's always an adventure game, but it's not always. Sometimes it's point and click. Sometimes you're highlighting words. Sometimes sometimes you're moving the camera around, and it's just sort of, it's just pretty fluid and changing. And it always seems to work when that happens, which is a little unexpected.
Right.
And then,
So that
worked really well. Or there's a part where there's one of the interludes is just, it's a fucking phone just sitting there.
Right.
It's like a touch-tone phone. And then you end up,
and you just dial a weird number.
Yeah. You dial a number and you end up on this like call in hotline, I guess. I don't know. And it just, but I played with that thing for a long time, and it would just go down these weird paths, and there's all this weird shit. It's like, press, you know, *77 to listen to strange animal sounds. And you're like, okay, fine. And then that stuff was cool and had not, I have no idea how it connected to anything.
Yeah. I mean, in the most that you get for connections from that kind of stuff would be like a character that you had met would be mentioned.
Mention it. Yep.
You know? Mm-hmm. And that would be it. Or that character, or a character in the main game would mention like that hotline.
Yep.
And then they would flesh it out. And my problem with that, and the reason I kind of felt like it was half book, or it would have been better as a book, but I think also better as a movie, is because the game part of it introduced intentionally a lot of randomness almost to the parts of the story that you saw, like especially in chapter 4. I think that was the most stark example of it, because like, so chapter 4, you're on a boat and you just keep going down this weird river, and then every time you stop, you choose to stay on the boat and do something with the people that stay on the boat, or go ashore and see what's ashore. And then you move on and you do not see whatever the other half of it is. So you only see half of that chapter. And so then that's kind of the entire game to me. It's like, there's apparently, like, because I listened to a couple other podcasts about it and people fucking love this game. And there's a ton of shit that I did not see. Like if you go back to the gas station in the beginning, you know, you see a whole different scene and you see like some more shit.
So I'm not sure that is a fault of it.
Well,
it's not something I want either. But
yeah.
I think there are a lot of people, especially those people that played, I know you did more of them than me as a kid, but people that really love old point and click adventures. There's there's people who love that first chapter. You can go, there's like hundreds of places on that map you can go to when you're driving around. I just wanted to find the 3 that moved the fucking story, right? And I don't really care that much about the rest, but there's lots of people that they just want to like click and find nooks and crannies and see strange dialogues and do all those things.
Right.
And I think that's probably, because one of the things we haven't talked about yet is this game is, there's a lot of people that put this on like best game of the decade kind of lists.
Right. Yeah.
And I think this game, for people who that's something they want the weirdness, they want things playing with form, and they want lots and lots of optional things that, right. that are sort of like narratively rewarding in very minuscule amounts, but in the collection of all of them, it becomes a different experience. I think for people who are looking for that experience, I can definitely see why they would like this game quite a bit.
I mean, yeah, I can see why people liked it. And yeah, that's the reason that we're even talking about it is because it's on people's game of the decade lists, or else it wouldn't be worth, if everybody hated this game, it wouldn't be worth talking about.
Yeah.
But my problem is that when you take all of those little parts, you know, and you take a handful of them almost at random and you string them together to make a story, that doesn't work for me, because there's no like authorial intention there, you know, like at least with a book or a movie, it's like your attention is being dragged along one specific course, as opposed to that kind of like, and you know, there's like that stuff with like whatever quantum shit, you know, where it's like,
yeah,
it goes in both directions and all that.
I think all that stuff is in there. You're not dragged along. But I think there's more thematic through threads than I know I bothered to look for.
Right.
It's the most postmodern, I think, probably game ever made, if not certainly that I can think of.
Right.
And most, when we're talking postmodern texts, a lot of those involve, you know, multiple reads, sometimes in multiple directions.
Right.
This is not something that I'm going to give that sort of effort and attention to, but
no,
I think it is in there.
Right. Yeah. So that, I had another note here about part of the goal of this kind of style seems to be to obscure things and to kind of make you think about like what's actually happening, you know, instead of the book, which would just kind of, most like normal books, I guess, that would just kind of tell you what's going on. This one kind of makes you figure it out. And I like that when it's like what's going on the surface is clear.
Yep.
And then you're figuring out what's going on under the surface. But in this one, I feel like it's more like you're spending a lot of time figuring out what's actually happening on the surface. Like, what are they doing? Who are they talking to? What is this place? You know, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And when I have to put a ton of effort into just figuring out like who's talking, or like how does this character tie into everything, and then the reason that it's not clear just seems to be too obscure things for the sake of making them obscure, that gets tiresome to me.
I agree with you 100%.
So one thing that happened is I left it like a week before I did part five. And so I had to read a recap of part four because I didn't. And I also kind of didn't pay attention because I got so sick of doing it. Like by about chapter three, I think, I was no longer even looking at the choices, like the dialogue choices. I would just click the first one because it just didn't seem to matter.
I read a recap. I think if you're reading it narratively, because one of the things that's kind of interesting about the dialogue choices is a lot of people, usually in games like this, the dialogue choices are, you are the character, what are you going to do here?
Right.
Right. And instead, the sort of base, like, you know, default perspective of this game is you are kind of the narrator. Like, which way do you want this to go? And I think that's an interesting, right. you're kind of influencing the style almost more than you are the narrative, which is cool. But
you don't really know how you're influencing it, like when you're making those choices.
That's the
half a sentence or whatever.
That's the but. And after a while, it's so wordy and so tiresome, and there's not enough of those threads that you just start mashing.
Yeah, but so I before I played chapter five, I read a recap of chapter four just on a wiki, and I liked reading the recap more than I liked playing the game. Because it was just laid out, and maybe that's just the kind of style that I like. Because then it was like clearly laid out everything that was happening, and you're able to see. But it didn't say like, you know, this, you know, means whatever. It just had like events. And you could, and I could stop focusing on what was happening, like moment to moment, mm-hmm. and focus on kind of the themes, the under the surface meanings, and that was way more gratifying to me than actually playing the game.
Yeah, that's funny. I think I like chapter four was way too long, but I think I liked it more than you did for the reasons that you didn't like it, which is a little strange.
Right.
The parts, yeah. The parts.
Well, I can see that because, like, it's a style. It's a style thing, you know. It's like that was a conscious decision that they made to do it that way. And like, if you like it, then you like
so
it.
So
you know?
the parts of this that I didn't like the most, which I think for me led to that feeling of things aren't connected very well and it's not clear what the path is there's, especially in chapters 1, 2, and 3, there's a lot of parts where you just need to kind of walk around and figure out where you're supposed to be or what you're supposed to do. And right. There's like clearly an order of events, but it's not clear what, so there's a lot of just aimlessly right. walking around places. And chapter 4 cut that right the fuck out. And it was just go on the boat,
right.
choose a thing, sort of right. interact with whatever it gives you. Usually they're little vignettes and then sometimes there's dialogue, right. so that I liked.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I thought I wrote a note that the gameplay, especially in those first few chapters, is an impediment to yep. to the game. You know? It's yep. in the way of what the game is trying to give you.
Which is strange because when it gets weird and playful and changes things, you'd think that's where it would break down.
Right.
But instead that's where it works, and when it just kind of defaults to right. like normal old, like this is how games work, it's horrible.
Like Walking Simulator, yeah. Did you here's a question. Did you find Carrington?
What's Carrington?
He was a character.
What is he? Which one is he? I don't.
I don't know because I missed him.
There was at one point some dude swam up to me and asked me if he could come, and I said no. So maybe it was him.
No, it was. I think if you go back to the gas station in the beginning, then you find this guy named Carrington, and then he goes on the entire journey with you.
Oh no,
Conway, character.
Shannon,
right.
and Ezra,
the kid,
and then. Junebug joined me.
The two robot.
Only musicians. Only one of the robots came with me.
Oh. The guy didn't come with you?
No.
I think I almost wish I liked this more to kind of explore those different things, but yeah. I can't even imagine picking this back up.
Well, so that, I mean, that's the thing is, there's no way I'm going to pick this back up either, but I also am pretty sure that I would like it way better the second time.
Right. Hmm. How much of the chapter 5 did you play?
Not very far. I was running around as a cat and getting bored, and then you texted me. So.
Right. That's it. That's the whole thing,
yeah.
I think. Like, you run around as the cat, and you yeah. eavesdrop on different people,
yeah.
and then that's it. And then it was the most frustrating chapter to me because you have to eavesdrop on the right people.
Yeah.
And there's no way to
that's the same thing as chapters 1, 2, and 3, where you just wander around talking yeah. to people, but you need to stumble into, there's no,
right.
because it's so obscure, there's no like clear way to really figure out what you're supposed to do. Right. I mean, there probably is, right. but for the most part, you just talk to everyone and hope you do it in the right order.
Right. And yeah. And I mean, it probably took me an hour to finish chapter 5. And I would guess a solid 30 minutes of that was just running around trying to find who I was supposed to
yep.
listen to.
It was the same in the interlude before chapter 5 with the TV station. It's the same thing. You're spinning around yeah. this room and you just need to figure out the order to click things in. By the
right.
by the second half of that, I was just holding the stick to the side so it spins and tapping the button until I touched. And it's like,
right.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I almost quit 5 minutes from the end. It's like,
yeah,
I couldn't.
I'll probably finish it just because, but I'll also probably.
Right, that was the same
I'll
thing.
I'll probably break out a guide and just do it that way.
I was like, this fucking thing isn't gonna beat me. That's the only reason.
I will say, hands down, the best part of this game and the one part I would probably do again was that weird fucking hotline phone. I loved that part. I don't know. It was just because yeah. they were funny and, yeah. and like weird, and it was there was something kind of interesting about listening. I hate, like, top five like pet peeves for me is those stupid robotic phone trees.
Right.
Like, I just always mash 0 and start yelling and getting like absurdly angry for no reason.
Right.
So the fact that they made some kind of game one that was intriguing to kind of poke down was so, which actually reminds me of in the first chapter, there's the interlude, there's the museum you talked about, not the house museum, but the museum like exhibit in the very beginning of
right.
the game.
Yeah.
And there's
yeah.
there's this thing on the wall, which is, it's like deconstructed cassette tapes, like the magnetic strips from the tapes are taped up,
right.
taped up on a wall. And then you have yeah. you have a machine that you roll over them.
Yeah.
And it ends up being like an analog adventure game.
Yeah.
Which was, that part was super cool too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of.
Yeah. There's tons of those little details that yeah. are like cool and that make sense, you know, or that have that little kind of cohesion, I guess,
mm-hmm.
in their tiny little kind of microsphere or whatever. But the problem is they don't add up a lot of the time.
Yeah, I don't think so. Or at least not without needing more calculus than it's worth investing.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. That's a podcast, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I think, I don't really, I've always wanted to like adventure games, and I don't.
Right.
The few times I enjoy them is when I just look up a guide and I basically treat them like a movie, at which point I should just watch a YouTube
video. I do kind of like that new kind of slate of walking simulators where basically a story.
I do like those, and I do like straight, like, visual novel kind of books, but the whole, specifically like the point and click thing, it just bugs me. It's tedious.
Yeah. It's tough. Yeah. I remember really liking, did you ever play that one where it was like the guy was dead? Manny Calaveras?
Yeah, I played it on Vita. But again,
what is that called?
It's called Grim Fandango.
Grim Fandango, yeah.
Yeah. All those old LucasArts games are very cool, right. But I would just play them with a guide and see what to do, because figuring out what to do with them is not fun. And it's...
Oh, yeah. Because it always infuriated me when it was like, okay, I know I'm supposed to like take the bluebird and like put it in the book or whatever. And it was like, oh, but you're supposed to have the book open already and then put the bluebird on it instead, and you get the order wrong. And it's like, guys, I understand the idea. Yeah, like,
I have no patience for that.
I can't be bothered to fucking sit around and figure out the exact order that it goes in because it doesn't make logical sense.
So,
but Grim Fandango,
and a lot of that
amazing
stuff just doesn't translate. You know, in 1992, when I was literally just trying to kill time with video games, I probably would like that a lot more, because those things, they have a lot of, when you're wrong, it says something funny or you get a weird animation or whatever. So like and it just doesn't translate to 20, whatever year it is now.
In Grim Fandango was hilarious. That was a...
Yeah, it's a good game.
That was,
and the one those guys made, that Thimbleweed Park is pretty good. That came out last year. But again, I played it with a guide and I was fine with that. So,
but that one actually had that brilliant system where the hint thing was
and it was funny.
And it would tell you like the next step that you needed, because that's usually all I would need. It's just like, oh, did you try putting this in this? And then you'd be like, oh, that's stupid, but okay.
Yep.
Oh, and then you get through it.
Yeah, that was a good game.
All right.
All right. That's what I got.
All right. Bye.
You're not going to say Yak Baby's yakking off? Aaron says that every time, and he's stuck with it.
The Yak Babies wish to thank all the personal pals who listen each week, and most especially to send extra thanks to all who have supported on Patreon past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, and William Howard Taft.